Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, finally. Ben Crenshaw, your beautiful plantation course finally has protection. The trade winds, breezy trade winds, are with us today, 15 to 25 miles per hour. It's going to be a windy day, a lovely windy day. The high today will be 88 degrees, more than likely. We're going to have some scattered showers, you may have noticed, in the morning, partly sunny skies, isolated showers in the afternoon, becoming mostly sunny and very hot again. So we'll still have that, but we'll have the trade winds, 15 to 25 miles per hour. Got some tee times, just a couple, the knee knockers. Docks. They're out at Poipu. There's a 12:30 if you'd like to go out. Makalei has a 9:26 and Volcano has a 9:40 where it's 58 degrees. Kauai Lagoons has a 9:52. Turtle Bay has a 9:36. Royal Hawaiian a 9:10. Eva Beach Country Club has a, or make that Eva Beach Golf Club, has a 9:20. Wailea sold out because Air Wing A is out there playing. There's a 1:30 on the Emerald course, a 148 as well, and the blue course is a 1250 or 120 or a 130 if you'd like to get out and play your wind game. Of course, you'll be practicing. Maui Nui, 852, 10 o'clock, and the Ravens are heading out on the course. All right, I got a great show for you because Ron Cyrax joining us, Michael Patrick Shields got a new book out, Karen Palacios Jensen, she's the LPGA master, creator, cardio golf, Adam Shupak, the senior writer at Golf Week, and Mark Rolfing, analyst and commentator, Golf Channel NBC Sports, is with us after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe, cleanup, 24-7, licensed and insured. Aloha Power's Megastore is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwilei. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwilei and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. And Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame, 2012 PGA Distinguished Service Award recipient with his wife, Debbie. Golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel NBC Sports, Mark Rolfing. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Well, thank you for welcoming me in. I'll be interested to see what you have up your sleeve today, Danielle.
Well, the century is just 61 days away, January 4th through the 7th. That's only 2 months. I mean, Thursday to Sunday, we're going to have fabulous season opening event. The 2024 FedEx Cup regular season returns to the calendar year schedule for the first time since 2012. Say, why is that so important?
Because it was a disaster. I mean, the wraparound season did nothing for the game. It did nothing to grow the game. It did nothing to grow interest in the PGA Tour. It was so confusing for people. They didn't know what year they were playing in or who qualifies for what tournament, what wins counted toward the century. It just, the whole thing was confusing from the beginning. There should have been a calendar year, and I think it's a good start. But I still would like to see us create a season now that has an off season. We've talked about this for 20 years, Danielle, mm-hmm. you and I. Mm-hmm. I really believe golf needs an off season, and even if it's just the month of December, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see that in the next couple years.
But what about the guys who, you know, like Camilo Villegas, who's really on fire right now at Cabo, right? He's just like playing really, really well. And it's been a while. He's tied for first. These tournaments that are being played kind of help them elevate their game, their points, their income.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But think about it. There's only one more. You know, we're only in November. The last one of the year is RSM next week. And so you could finish by the middle of November. That is my argument here. I really believe that the PGA tour schedule where points count and all of that should, I think, end sometime in November and give the players an off season. Because if you take a look at what is happening, the players are playing so much golf now. They're getting worn off. You know, they're having to take time off when they really don't want to, and they're getting injured.
Yeah.
They're getting injured. The little tweaks. Matt Kuchar, you know, is facing them all the time now. He's getting up there in his years. Everybody needs a little time off, and I think the golf fans do, frankly. I think it would be good for the golf fans to have an off-season.
Yeah, okay. It, the only problem is, you know, some of us golf fans are kind of like stuck to Golf Central and, you know, Golf Today. And then if there's nothing for them to talk about, what are we going to do?
What we would do, I think, is load up the LPGA schedule toward the end of the year. Load up the European Tour at the end of the year. Make the Australian Tour important again. The Australian Open, Danielle, was one of the great tournaments in all of golf. For years and years and years, that thing ought to be played in December, and then it's one of the major national championships. There's plenty of things you could do to put it on the schedule without having official PGA Tour golf.
Excellent, and I think that's a really good idea because Céline Boutier, you know, 9-hole playoff winning for the first, you know, it's just awesome. There's some really, really strong golf being played on the LPGA Tour, and it's kind of their quote-unquote off-season. Some of their top players are taking a little time off. I'm kind of concerned about Nelly Korda. Have you heard anything about Nelly's game, her body?
No, I haven't. You know, she's been fighting injuries, too, a little bit. I haven't heard a whole lot. Yeah. You probably ought to ask Ron Cyrak when you talk to him, who was always one of your great guests. The other thing I'd like to hear from Ron is, this tournament that they're having right now, the Toto Championship, I've never seen so many spectators at an LPGA event. That shows me that this is a good time of the year for the LPGA to be playing, particularly internationally. I would focus on this time of year.
Yeah. The Japanese fans are some of the most immersed because they love the game of golf. They love to play the game, and going to watch the women play is probably the best way for someone who's pretty good to get a lot better, because you watch and you learn and you feel it as you're standing there. That's something that I think our golf fans need to remember. If you go to a tournament, you're really going to get a sense of what these people, whether men, women, what they're doing to perform at the level that they're performing. And I think you can like kind of get a reality check. You know, like, you don't expect your drive to go 315 yards unless you look like him.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting that you would say that. And that's a great point, Danielle, about going to a tournament and learning. I'm going to expand that even further. I did a corporate event not too long ago, and my theme was what you can learn about golf by watching it on TV. Even if you don't go to the event, but watching it on TV, you can make that an instructional session if you really think about it.
Yep.
And then just watch what the players do. The one thing you will see, for example, is every player has a pre-shot routine that never varies at the top level.
Yep.
You've got to have a pre-shot routine. You watch them. There's no player that doesn't have that. And there's a lot you can learn about golf by watching on TV also.
That's really good, the pre-shot routine. And on television, they won't show you that necessarily, right? They're really close up and almost ready to hit their shot.
Yeah, you'll see it if you're doing back-to-back shots live. So you'll see it more on the weekend where leaders are playing together and where they would show both shots in a sequence. So if you watch the second player, who typically won't start their pre-shot routine till the other players hit their shot, that's where you would see it the most.
Okay, all right. So just keep your eyes open. You know, here in Hawaii, we've got the Century with some really cool ticket options. So if you're saying to yourself, yeah, but, you know, I get tired being on the course, and I don't really, but there's so many, there's the Gallery Pass, and then there's the Cook Pine Club. And that provides you with not only, you know, some spectacular views, but the two-time Maui Chef of the Year, Taylor Pont, will be there with, you know, food selections, and you can go get refreshments and then head back out. And it's on number 11 and number 18 and the first tee as well. So there's lots to do. I'm really excited that the Century is kicking off this season, this calendar year season. It's very cool for 2024.
Yeah, it's going to be a great field. You know, everything is in such flux right now when it comes to the PGA Tour. You know, this deal with the Saudi Public Investment Fund. I mean, you're laughing, which you well should, because that deal was supposed to be done by the end of the year. There's no way. I do not see this deal getting done, which means I think we're going to have to deal with LIV Golf for another year. I thought that would have been worked out in all this, but they're just having trouble with all the details, and I don't know. I have a sense that maybe the Saudis are losing their incentive to make the deal now that they've kind of gotten a seat at the world golf table. But, you know, once we start playing golf again, once we have a designated event on Maui, you know, with 50 or 55 of the best players in the world, hopefully we'll forget about all that.
You know, LIV Golf, I don't even take much stock in LIV Golf. It's great, fine guys, go play, go have fun, do your thing, have music, do whatever, 54 holes, fine. Don't expect world ranking points if you don't play the same game that the other guys are playing. You know, they're playing 72 holes, and it's more rigorous. And but I don't understand what the PGA Tour is doing, wanting to go from a 501c6, becoming a not-for-profit, to become a for-profit, and possibly, you know, selling off portions, like the Honda Classic is worth $40 million. This is, why would you want to sell your assets?
Well, and the problem is, Danielle, how do you value those assets? I've the big assets that the PGA Tour owns, the two big assets are the Players' Championship and the President's Cup. And I've heard the value of the Players, everything from $1 billion to, you know, $50 million. That's a pretty big spread, $950 million spread. I don't know how you could ever come up with a value for that. It's a tough one. But the tax that the Saudis used actually worked in a lot of ways. And what they forced the PGA Tour to do was raise their purses. And now the PGA Tour is in a situation where, is this a sustainable model where they're having $20 million purses instead of $8 million purses like they do at Sony? You know, is that sustainable without investment money? I don't think it is. They never should have raised the purses.
No, they never should have raised the purses. They didn't have to compete on that level with anyone. And the Saudis eventually, yeah, they got really deep pockets. But they're going to want to return. They're going to want to make some money on what they're investing eventually. I thought Joe Ogilvie's a former tour player, of course, and a money manager now, and really, really smart. And he put together a letter to the PGA Tour members saying, this is a great time to be a PGA Tour member, but Jay Monahan, you have got to communicate what you're doing with your players, because I think they're putting them all at risk. I just don't like what they're doing. I think they need to stand their ground. Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour players need to be more, they need to be one, and they don't seem to be one.
Well, you're right in two regards. You're right in a lot of things, but in two regards. The first is the communication by the PGA Tour has been horrendous from the beginning, from a year ago or whenever the beginning was, a year and a half ago. The communication's been terrible. It's got to get better. The other thing is, I don't know. After I saw the way the Americans acted at the Ryder Cup, and in particular Patrick Cantlay and some of the shenanigans that were going on there and everything else, I just wonder, you know, really where his loyalty lies, and You know, maybe he is thinking about going to live. Maybe he's going to have a different plan. He's a different kind of a guy. He's got different goals than, say, Rory McIlroy or John Rahm, for that matter. As far as I'm concerned, if he wants to go to live, go ahead.
No, I that's how I feel. I would, thought maybe that now that John Rahm is getting an idea of what the PGA Tour really is like, maybe he doesn't really care about winning 83, maybe 84 PGA Tour tournaments and beating Tiger Woods' record, right? Maybe that doesn't mean anything. Maybe the only thing that means really anything are the major championships. So maybe John Rahm is finally seeing the true colors and will jump ship and go to live. No,
I don't think he will, and here's why. It's a good theory. I think Rahm has considered it. Here's the Rahm dilemma. Unlike all the American players that don't have any real loyalty to the European Tour, which is now called the DP World Tour, John Rahm does. There are three tournaments in his home country of Spain. There's his National Open, the Spanish Open, and he's the one player that is still trying to figure out what is going to happen to that group of tournaments that really are important to him. And I think he is using some of this for leverage. I would, too, if I were him. But whereas the American players, Xander Schauffele doesn't have to worry about the DP World Tour.
Mm-hmm.
But John Rahm really does. He's a Spaniard at heart. You know how hot blood of those guys are and how much they feel about their home country. So he's got a little bit of a different situation trying to also factor in the DP World Tour. When are they going to play and when is he going to play in those tournaments?
You know, that's it. You know, John Rahm has an allegiance to his home country. And I think somehow we have become so disconnected. Remember when U.S. teams were U.S. teams, United States, the United States of America, put together teams, didn't matter where you come from, what you're doing in the Olympics or baseball playing against international, it didn't matter. We were behind the U.S. teams. And I don't feel that so much today. And it makes me sad.
Yeah, there was tremendous discord in Rome. I will tell you, I was not in the team room, so I didn't really see it firsthand, but I could just see the players' body language, and from the beginning when they got shellacked in that first session where they had made horrible pairings and they were already, you know, sowing seeds of discord about whether Cantlay was going to wear a hat and whether he was actually using the same locker room space as the other players. It was all just a bunch of nonsense. And basically what happened, Daniel, was you had a team of 12 European players that played as one, and you had a team of 12 Americans that played like 12 little individual corporations was really what they were doing. And that's not going to be successful in team golf.
No. You know, and I got to ask you, I'm going to ask this question of many, but with the East Lake Cup, you know what I'd like to see? With East Lake, I know I'm totally changing the subject, but when it comes to teams, it's great to see the men and the women playing the East Lake Cup. But I'd like to see a team, men, women, one man, one woman, playing as a team. I think that would, I don't know, I think it would just invigorate that whole idea of getting the women and the men together and performing as a team against other teams, like...
Let me tell you where I think we should do that. You're right on. I think we should do that in the Olympics. I was so disappointed when after all this time and all this lobbying, we went ahead and got golf approved in the Olympics, and we did just another 72-hole stroke play tournament. The Olympics is all about teams.
Yes.
I think there should be a team element of men and women in the Olympics, and that would be the highest profile place you could do it.
Right on. Mark Rolfing, you'll have to come back before Century, right? We're gonna.
That's a deal.
Okay, awesome. It's so good talking with you. Where are you off to next?
I am here till the end of the year. You won't see me anywhere again except the plantation course.
Right on. And it's breezy. Ben Crenshaw should be happy.
Yes, he should. He wouldn't have been last week. It was a little too still for him last week.
Mark Rolfing's golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel, NBC Sports. Aloha, Mark.
Thanks, Danielle.
We're coming back. Adam Shupak is with us. He's in Cabo. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls, learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Aloha Power's Winter is Coming sale. Honda generators in all sizes come with a free extended warranty worth $200. That's less than the big box stores. Got a big area that needs attention? Riding mowers are on sale because it has to get done. We've got Husqvarna riding mowers from 36 to 72 inches, chainsaws, weed eaters, leaf blowers, and accessories all on sale. We ship off island. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power Equipment.
Edelay next to Costco Gas and in Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
The Golf Club tip number 81. Don't throw your bag in the pond. You'll want your car keys and wallet when driving home. Now, back to the Golf Club with Danielle Tucker.
Adam Shupak, senior writer, Golf Week, and author Dean Beeman, golf's driving force. And if you don't remember, Dean Beeman was once a, yes, PGA Tour head honcho. He has his MS in journalism from Columbia University, Graduate School of Journalism. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Thanks, Danielle. Great to be with you. You know, there are not a lot of places better than where you are in Hawaii, but it's pretty nice here in Cabo right now, let me tell you.
I bet it's nice there. But, you know, we've got to jump right into Tiger Woods walking down the stairs in Cabo, where the PGA Tour is playing on the course he designed. Made more news than I think anything else other than maybe this thing with the PGA Tour,
yeah,
which is so confusing. But some people said, yay, he's walking down the stairs. Look at this guy. And other people are going, oh, look, it looks like he's hiding his pain. Oh, dear, he's in pain. It's all over. He's finished. It's done. I'm like, wait a second. You're doing this from a video? Give us your thoughts on Tiger Woods at Cabo.
Well, yeah, it definitely fueled a lot of speculation about his return. I actually, I didn't video it, but a couple of years back, I saw him walk up the steps at Riviera, the 52 steps up that hill to the clubhouse after giving out the trophy. And I thought, this means he's going to play in the Masters. And people were just, you know, crucifying me that I'm some moron and what am I talking about? But he did end up playing in that Master, so a little vindication there. So I don't know what, if we, I don't know how much we read into this. To me, the bigger, I did hear from some people that he wasn't too happy that he had to take those stairs. But the good thing is I did talk to Stuart Sink, who had chatted with Tiger for a while, and he told told Stuart that he has begun practicing. Now, Stuart doesn't know what he's practicing for. Is that, you know, the Hero World Challenge in December, his event that he hosts, is that, which still has one remaining sponsor exemption that could be for him.
Right.
Is that the PNC Championship with Charlie, which, you know, that's been so much fun to watch the two of them play as a team and where he can use a cart. Is that getting ready for TGL in January, where all he has to do is hit into a screen, or is that the Masters in April, or something else? We don't know. You know, at this point, we don't know. But I guess it's encouraging to hear that he's back to practicing.
So Stuart Sink says Tiger Woods is practicing.
Yes, that was the headline.
That is the headline. Yes, and I loved how you closed it with "for what nobody seems to know," including Sink. and there's also another little tidbit. Tiger Woods excited to play the PGA Tour Champions.
Yeah, that seems to be what, you know, he even talked about it some at some press conferences in kind of a jokey way. But I think, you know, this is a guy who's so competitive, and he looks at what Bernhard Langer wants to do, and that's almost like, you know, he wants to chase that, I think, just the way he chased some of Jack's records when there had been some talk that maybe they would move the eligibility age back, and then Tiger could get an early start. You know, he's going to turn 48 in December, and when Steve Stricker called him up about this, he said, no, I want to start at 50. That's where all these other guys, that's the bar. And so it's in his mind, and, you know, the ability for him to take a card on that tour, I think, is a game changer. And I think PGA Tour Champions could be, a very popular place for golf fans to be watching if Tiger starts playing out there, just the way, you know, almost 30 years ago when, in 1990, when Jack Nicklaus and Lee Trevino made it more popular than the PGA Tour in terms of television ratings.
Yes, yes. And, you know, and they would come over and play over here. And it was so much fun because they would do the skins game, you know, and it was four or six of them, you know, and they were here. But I would follow them, and they just the conversations they have, and the ribbing and the joking with one another, and the camaraderie that they, and it wasn't put on. It was real. And when it was time to compete, the competition. And that's something that I really respect on the PGA Tour level, and I have a hard time with on the LIV Golf level. I mean, they're working hard on PGA Tour, and sure, you should have fun, but at some point there is more to a game. The guys playing baseball and football, they're not out there playing and having, like, fun.
The players in this event this week and for the next couple of weeks, I mean, they're fighting for their jobs, and it's a kind of life or death right now for these guys, because the difference in what they're going to make playing on the Korn Ferry Tour if they get demoted is so significant. And, you know, this is where they want to be, on the biggest stage, and they hope that this can be a springboard to, you know, playing in these signature events. So there's a lot at stake right now on the PGA Tour, even though this is kind of, you know, the fall's not quite as big and doesn't get as deep a field. But, you know, we're getting to see, it was great to watch Camilo Vijaygas, you know, guy who's won four times on the PGA Tour, go out and shoot a couple 64s. Yes. I mean, there's so many good players out here. He came into this week ranking 223 in the FedEx standing. So any week, any one of these guys can find it. And they're all out here working really hard to try to figure out how to get that ball in the hole.
Yeah. It's called the Worldwide Technology Championship. And what do they think of El Cardenal Golf Course in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico?
They think the fairways are generous, that's for sure. I've never seen a PGA Tour event like this where the players are hitting 90% of the fairways. Through two rounds, if you had missed two fairways, you were ranked, you know, outside the top 50. There are nine guys who hit every fairway through 36 holes. And so it's really a very much a second shot golf course, which is kind of what Augusta National is to a great extent. And so Tiger's saying to guys, like, you got to, you know, if you hit great shots, you're going to be rewarded. You know, you'll get the better angles. And this was a course, though, that he really designed more for the average golfer. It's a resort, more of a resort style course. And I don't think he envisioned this hosting the PGA Tour someday, but they are. He's put a lot of effort into this, making sure that it, you know, came down here and spent some time, and was, you know, talking to the project developer, said that, you know, he was demanding, you know, photos of things that they were doing, you know, rather than just signing off on stuff. He wanted to see it himself before he gave his okay on things. So he's been pretty involved, and you know, I think it's this is the first year. There's a third golf course that's going to be built, and I think in 2025 or 2026 they'll probably be playing this tournament at that course, and it'll be more focused on having a PGA Tour event.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And I thought, well, this looks like a really comfortable course for the professionals to be playing on. Do you know why they gave it to him, or why they're playing there? Is it because it's Tiger's course?
It's an interesting story. So they played this event for 15, 16 years in Mayakoba, but that course decided to flip and go to LIV. That they have one of the LIV events.
Oh.
And so the PGA Tour pulled up stakes and went looking for somewhere else. And they got a call after, you know, Davis Love designed the second course here called the Dunes course. Actually, it's the first course, but the course they're not using this week. The Dunes course, Davis Love, you know, he's very involved in the PGA Tour management. I guess he has a PGA Tour event, and his brother reached out to the people here, and that's how they got connected. The tour flew down to walk the course, and here we are 1 year later.
Wow. Okay. Well, that is very cool. Can I ask you, you know, I think we're all trying to come to terms with this thing with LIV under the Saudi umbrella, but it's not really LIV that we're talking about. It's about the Saudis becoming partners in the PGA Tour. And it's very confusing, but I'm going to go back to Ogilvie's letter, and I mentioned it during my conversation with Mark Rolfing. It's like, if you sell something to someone but stay a partner with that person, it's like a marriage. And you better be really, really comfortable with that person, because what if something goes wrong in the marriage and all of a sudden you have to divest or split up? I just don't think this is a good idea.
Yeah, I think I love that analogy that Joe Willie made of the marriage. And, you know, when you get married, you marry the whole family too, right? And so there's a lot there. And you know, talking to Davis Love about what's going on, you know, he said, you know, take out the Saudis. If it was Warren Buffett who was going to be our partner and give the PGA Tour or $2 billion, how would we feel about that? We're still giving somebody ownership, as Joe Ogilvie said. They're going to probably have a seat on, you know, demand a seat on the board and a certain amount of control. So there's a lot for them to think about. I don't think anything's getting done before the end of the year. That was my takeaway after talking to Davis Love. And I think, you know, there's some big decisions to be made, and I don't even think the people in the room really know for sure how this is all going to pan out. There's a lot of chefs in the kitchen, and at this point now, I don't think Jay and Monahan is going to surprise us again the way he did on June 6th. And I think we're a long way from figuring out exactly how this is all going to play out.
Now, you've studied commissioners of the PGA Tour. You wrote a book about one of them. How does this guy stack up against the others?
Oh, that's a good question. I think he's had an incredibly challenging deck between dealing with COVID and now an existential threat to the PGA Tour. You know, I think a lot of people have already made this comment, so but I sort of agree with the fact that he probably should have talked to their side in early stages, just so he could tell the players, look, I have at least looked at this opportunity for us, but and then come back with reasons why he didn't like it, rather than just stonewall him. And I think that's one of the real complaints that the players have, is that we never even looked at this. We spent 2 years fighting a certain way against them. Everybody was, you know, the majority of the players were all, you know, in his court and you know, being team players, and then they got this huge shock. So the other thing I would say, I wrote a story this week about the PGA Tour taking championship management, taking over the Honda Classic, and looks like they're going to have a new title sponsor for that event, which is great. But they're potentially going to take over more PGA Tour events, and then they're just going to become a little more cookie cutter. And I feel like Dean Beaman didn't try to squeeze every dollar out of the PGA Tour. He always left enough on the table that his partners wanted to come back and sign the next deal.
Yeah.
And nowadays, it's so much about money. It's become such a big business, and the purses and the money that the tour has in their resources just has to keep growing and growing, and it's all tied into employees' bonuses and stuff. So they're motivated in that way, and I you know, I'm not sure who's that focused on what's best for the game of golf and professional golf in general. and the fans. So there's a lot, I think, that you know, maybe gets lost in a lot of deals get made that are just about the dollars. And I don't think that's the way it used to be.
No, I think you're right. And Mark Rolfing made a good point. He said now, you know, upping the purses to $20 million instead of $8 million because of the threat of LIV Golf, you know, the coffers are kind of a little shaky compared to what they were, you know. And so now this is like a Hail Mary going into, but it just doesn't seem well thought out. They're not communicating. And it's the PGA Tour players who are the 501c6 that they are. You know, that's who... At least that's my understanding, you know, and so not talking to the membership, the owners of the PGA Tour, that's just plain weird. Thank you so much, Adam Shupak, taking time out. Senior writer, Golf Week, always a pleasure. And let's do this more often, okay?
Anytime, and great to follow up the great Mark Rolfing. I guess you got a great lineup today. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you very much, Adam. Aloha. Karen Palacios-Jensen, CardioGolf.com. She's up next. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamila Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Are you looking for a new camera? Want a quality camera to rent for that weekend getaway? Pro Camera Hawaii is your authorized Canon, Sony, Fujifilm, Nikon, and Ricoh dealer. With in-stock and special orders for your hard-to-find items, from digital cameras, lenses, audio, lighting, video accessories, and gift certificates, Pro Camera Hawaii has it all. Sales and expert service at Pro Camera Hawaii in the Pearl Kai Shopping Center. Capture the memories.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Karen Palacios-Jensen, she created CardioGolf.com for golfers. Cardio Golf and Cardio Golf TV. She's an LPGA Master Teaching Professional, lead instructor for Golf Channel, Golf Digest Top 50 Best Golf Fitness Trainer, and the only LPGA professional on the list on Facebook at Cardio Golf. Welcome into the clubhouse, Karen.
Thanks so much for having me. And I'm actually calling you from the golf course. We're in North Carolina, and we had a frost delay. So my tee time would have been 8:30, but it got pushed back to 10:30. So I'm just finishing up now.
How
so
was
if you heard some birds tweeting or people yelling four, it's because I'm on the golf course.
That's wonderful. I hope we don't distract anyone. We should talk very, very quietly.
Yeah, right. Not the crew I play with. The louder, the better.
Oh, okay, cool. You know, I was...
We play music.
We've been talking a long time. And I was going through the history, you know, and I came across Karen Palacios-Jensen's 5 essentials to hitting the ball longer.
And nice.
I know. And I thought, my gosh, everybody that I know, including myself, wants to hit the ball longer. So I thought, let's do this. Is, you know, there's... From what I see, there's 5 essentials: alignment, angle, swing, plane, the squareness of contact, and speed. Shall we start?
So, you know, it's really about going back to the fundamentals. So if you have a good setup and you're aligned towards your target line, your body swings towards the target. If your body is misaligned, your mind knows it, and your body has to do something weird to compensate. So that already there, you're starting out by, you know, swinging across the ball or too much inside out. So that's a really big deal, alignment. If you know your target, then everything is parallel lines, and you can just swing down your alignment. So that's really big.
Well, how do you figure that out? I think a lot of people get confused.
Well, you know, I mean, if you go back to super simple thoughts, like you're standing on a railroad track, your target line is the direction the ball is going, but your body is actually parallel to it. So if you're a right-handed golfer, it would be parallel left. So here's an easy way to set up. When you set up, if you lift your left arm, if you're a right-handed golfer, straight out, it actually should be pointed to the left of the target, not at the target, Danielle, because if it's pointing at the target, then your body is aligned too far to the right, so your club and ball are going to even be more right.
Right. That makes so much sense when I picture that in my mind, of course.
Yeah, so it's super, super easy.
That explains a lot for me, because I think I stand sideways, you know, and I kind of have my shoulder and I look over there and I go, oh, yeah, there's, you know, but that doesn't count where my arm is.
Right, yeah. You know, and I mean, it just takes discipline. You have to get someone to stand behind you. You have to practice on the driving range with alignment tools. If you get a chance to play a practice round, you're allowed to put a club or an alignment stick down, not when you're playing, but you can check yourself. You know, and there's a good way when you stand behind the ball, that's the easiest way to get your alignment. And then you pick out an intermediate target and you align your club to the target line and then your body left. So that's the first thing in hitting it as far as you can, is making sure you're in the direction.
Your alignment. You want it to go. Yes. Right. Now, what's the angle of attack?
So the angle of attack depends on what club that you're hitting. So if you're hitting a shorter iron, the angle of attack is steeper on the ball because the ball is in the middle of your stance or slightly back. So the angle is down. And when you hit down, the ball rolls up the club face backwards for backspin. If you're coming in too shallow with your irons, you're going to hit down and hit the ground first if the ground is wet. Or if the ground is hard, you're going to hit a thin shot. So the thin and the fat shot actually come from the same thing. It's hitting before the ball and then catching the ball on the upswing. Now, if you have a driver, the ball is up on a tee, so the angle of attack is more sweeping or even on the up. The three wood would be the club that's the hardest to hit, because that's the angle that you have to come in exactly where the ball is. With irons, you can kind of get away with being a little steeper over the top. With a driver, you can get away with a little bit being underneath and hitting up on it. But with the three wood, you have to be perfect. And that's why that club is so hard to hit, because you're hitting it off the ground, not on a tee.
Wow. And now the swing plane.
So the swing plane is simply the angle that the club set address. Again, it depends on your club. If you're hitting a shorter iron, the swing plane would be steeper. Think about it. If you're hitting a longer club, the swing plane is flatter. So you don't want to have a steep swing plane when you're hitting the driver. You're going to be hitting down on it, and then that's not good, cutting across it. You don't want to have a super shallow swing plane with your irons, because then you're going to be hitting behind it, either up on it or hitting fat shots.
Okay, so if you wind your body correctly, as you write, mm-hmm. the club should stay on plane back and through.
Yes, and for the club that you're hitting. So again, alignment tools are really good. Those alignment sticks, you can place two sticks at the same angle as your club and practice swinging on plane back and forth.
I like it.
That's the other way to maximize your distance. If you're swinging off plane, then you're not going to be making contact with the ball in the right spot.
Right. Yeah, you want to hit the sweet spot every time.
Right.
And now the squareness of contact, what does that mean?
Yeah. So that's where you hit the ball on the center of the club face. So that's why they call it the sweet spot. You know, when you hit the sweet spot, angels start singing, ha, ah, and it feels like butter.
Yes.
When you hit it off the toe or the heel or high or low, it's very clunky. So you're going to get your maximum distance when you hit the ball in the center of the face. So a quarter of an inch, which is the size of like a thumbnail, like your, you know, the nail on your thumb. If you hit the ball outside a quarter of an inch outside the sweet spot, you're going to lose up to 12 yards of distance. So if you're hitting it off the toe or the heel, you're losing a lot of distance. Just by making center contact, you're going to get much more distance. And that's why a lot of the times, you know, we hit one shot flush 150 yards, and the next time we only hit it 130 because you're not hitting the ball in the sweet spot.
Oh, right on. Oh, that's, I'm looking at my thumb going, really?
Yeah. Right. That's how, you know, nowadays club manufacturers have made the sweet spot a lot bigger. You can get away with some toe and heel hits. There's more perimeter weighting, meaning weight more around the club face. So you can get away with those kind of shots. But still, you can feel the difference when you hit in the center and not in the center.
Wonderful. Okay. That's such good news. And I think speed. Now, how do you judge your speed?
Well, so if you're trying to hit the ball as far as you can, you have to have your maximum club head speed. So think about it. If you're swinging off plane, like from the outside to in or inside to out, that's not the correct swing plane. So you're going to have to slow down during impact to make center contact. So you might hit the ball that way, but you're not making your complete speed. So all those things have a lot to do with your speed, making center contact.
So when you write, think of a child's swing. Once it is swung back, it will reach the top, then almost stop. Then it will change direction and start down on its own, picking up speed. So imagine...
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So if that swing plane is nice, straight, and back and forth on plane, it's going to get its maximum speed. Now think about it. Some kid comes up and pushes that other kid off plane, and the swing is going to start to go sideways and crooked. It slows it down, right? So that's what your speed is. If you have to slow down at impact, then you're not getting your maximum club head speed.
Yes. Yeah.
And people slow down because they realize that they're not coming in correctly, so they try to make compensations.
Yes. That seems, it always never works either, those compensations. It's like, no, I'm
exactly, all... right. Uh-huh. So that's why we lose a lot of speed.
Wow.
You know, we might hit the ball, but we're not getting our maximum club head speed.
Where can I see all of your videos?
So if you go to cardiogolf.com and then just press on our programs or Cardio Golf Online Studio, I have a lot of free content. You just have to go in there and start looking. I also, if you go to cardiogolf.com and you want to get a subscription for even a month, you can do it for free. And that way you can check out all my content. And I have a lot of stuff on Instagram, as you know, at cardiogolf.com. So you can see all my content there as well.
That's right on. Oh, we need to do this more often because I realized it's been months since we had a chat. And I know how busy you are. So you'd let me know the next time you're available, okay?
Okay, that would be great. I would love it. You know, I love to come on your show. And normally it would be great if we didn't have a frost delay this morning. So
it's so quite
cold weather is coming through.
You did a great job. Karen Palacios Jensen, cardiogolf.com. That's where you'll find her. Go there, cardiogolf.com. Thank you, Karen.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Love to talk to you.
Awesome. Aloha. We're coming back. Michael Patrick Shields has a new book right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Aloha Power's Winter is Coming sale. Honda generators in all sizes come with a free extended warranty worth $200. That's less than the big box stores. Got a big area that needs attention? Riding mowers are on sale because it has to get done. We've got Husqvarna riding mowers from 36 to 72 inches, chainsaws, weed eaters, leaf blowers, and accessories all on sale. We ship off island. Aloha. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power Equipment.
Edelay next to Costco Gas and in Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
The storytelling of travel writer and radio talk show host Michael Patrick Shields takes you on adventures in this guidebook of romance, inspiration, and practical travel destinations, advice, and ideas. Michael Patrick Shields has authored books in collaboration with President George H.W. Bush and Ken Rayner, talk show host Larry King, and TV broadcaster Ben Wright, golf architect Arthur Mills, and, okay, the Dummies series. Do you remember the Dummies? Four Dummies series? There's so many books that Michael Patrick Shields has written, and now he has a new one out. It's called Travel Tattler, Less Than Torrid Tales. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael Patrick.
Aloha. Nice to hear you again.
Less Than Torrid Tales?
Yeah.
What inspired your book title, Travel Tattler, Less Than Torrid Tales?
Well, it's because they're love stories that aren't torrid. And you can have them. And they can be very meaningful, and they can be very satisfying, and dare I say, even orgasmic, I suppose, but without the torrid part. And because if you embrace the world, you'll be surprised that the world will embrace you back. And it can be spiritually, it can be to inspire you, it can make your heart feel good, and it can also really give you a sort of international intellect. And that's by being open and putting yourself in situations, kind of inviting yourself to the party, like one of my previous books, a similar theme, but this is totally about travel, and it's totally about what you can get out of travel if you just show some interest when you're out there in the world.
That's wonderful. I just love what Jennifer Hudson said to Michael Patrick Shields. I done got me a man of quality here. You can come to my happy place anytime.
Well, she's very sweet, you know, and this is another example, too. You know, I've met her a few times, very lucky, been on her television show. And when I got a chance to speak with her privately on one of the occasions, I said, you know, I just moved out here to Hollywood. Do you have any advice for how I can, you know, adjust from coming from the Midwest? Because she was from the Midwest, too. Now, when you ask somebody for advice, that is a big form of compliment. And you might think of it as being like, oh, I don't want to bother them. But people like to be asked for advice. And she shared with me that she's not even fully adjusted to living in Hollywood yet. And so I thought that was sort of a cool little connection. So that's what this is about. These are love stories. And by the way, they're going to take you to places that you maybe haven't been before, places that are on your bucket list. And the destinations like Hollywood or Venice, Italy, or Mazatlan during the Day of the Dead will all kind of come to life through the stories and the people that you'll meet along the way with me. Paris and Pamplona and all over the place.
Yes. One minute, Michael Patrick Shields is hobnobbing in Hollywood. Okay. Then the next minute, he's on a plane. No, wait. In between that, he's on one of the hottest game shows. Okay. And then he's in Minnesota at Tom Lehman's Kragan's Resort. And then he's in Cuba. for a little R&R, it's Italy, and then London, and then home, and then back out on the road again. And then he writes books.
Yeah, I'm so blessed to be able to do these things. It's just quite an education and quite a life. It's maybe not for everyone, but it is for me.
Yeah, well, that's all in your book. You see, that's what I'm trying to say. People can vicariously go around the world and experience things that you've experienced. And when you write a book called Invite Yourself to the Party, obviously, Michael Patrick, you've got some experience in charming and being so, gregarious that people want you to be a part of their world. And so when you get that kind of a connection with people, you get experiences that most people don't open themselves up to. And then you write about it, so we get to vicariously experience that. That's wonderful.
Well, thank you. And the secret is not me and my charm. The secret is me and my intrigue in other people. And if you make it about them, and you can go through a dinner and have the server all night long and not exchange one human connection, not one question. Or you can talk to the bartender and find out a little about their story. I had a 90-year-old Italian priest friend of mine who looked more like Yoda than he did a human. And he said to me, never walk past another person on the street without acknowledging them.
Amen.
And, that people will look the other way, or they'll look at their phones, or, like, you're the only two passing, for God's sake. And so he says, you don't have to be like, hi, he said, but at least nod and, make eye contact. And he could say, sup, or whatever.
Yes.
And there's a story in this book about, that illustrates that story very well. And I won't spoil it, but I pass a woman on the street. We both ignore each other, and you'll be really surprised what happens next. You will.
Less than torrid tales.
Yeah. I'm going to take you to a woman's prison in Tallahassee. I once again invited myself to that party. And it ended up being a very long and intriguing friendship with a woman who was incarcerated there. I'm going to take you into the confessional in Milan's Duomo.
Wow.
If you've never been in a dark Catholic confessional, you're coming there with me. And also into the lair of Hugh Hefner. And get you a table at Joe's Stone Crab. We're going to have some fun, and we're going to go some places. And we're going to meet some really intriguing and cool people in forbidden places, too, like Havana.
Yeah, these true tattletales take readers to intriguing enclaves such as the Beverly Hills Hotel's Polo Lounge, Forbidden Havana, Cuba, a prized table at Miami Beach's Joe Stone's Crab, well-worn pubs in the wilds of Ireland. You'll get backstage with Academy Award winners and meet mysterious characters in their international lairs. Such intrigue.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm not Mr. Smooth always. Some of these go sideways, and some of these are funny, and some of these I make a kind of a fool of myself. But they end up being good stories nevertheless. And it occurs to me, too, now that we're talking golf on a golf show, that you know how you get paired sometimes with people when you go to play, and if you're a single or you're a twosome, they'll put you with another twosome, and sometimes you can go the whole round without even really knowing anything about the other people. Sometimes you leave with friends, and sometimes you have a drink afterward, and sometimes you don't. You kind of have to read the situation, I guess, as to whether the other people really want to engage or be private on their own. But that's an opportunity where you're sort of forced into a potential friendship, at least for 18 holes.
Yeah. And part of the reason why it's so much fun being on a ship sailing across the ocean is because you do have kind of encounters with people that you're walking around. It's not like you're on an aircraft and you're supposed to stay seated unless you're going to the bathroom. You are on a ship and you're going to be together for a couple of weeks maybe, and you get to know each other and you have fun, or you find out that you don't have much in common and you don't get to. It's very cool. I really like your style, and I like how you put in here, live the full life of the mind, exhilarated by new ideas, intoxicated by the romance of the unusual. That was written by Ernest Hemingway. Thank you for that.
Mm.
Yes.
I'm so glad you mentioned cruises, because in a couple of weeks, I'm going to go on an Oceania cruise out of Miami down through the Caribbean.
Wow.
And I've never been on. It's 10 days. And I'm going alone, and I have some trepidation about this, and I have a lot of excitement, because I really don't have any experience in the cruise sector, which is the reason I'm doing it, and Oceania looks like about the best there is. So maybe you can give me some advice, because am I going to be a third wheel all the time on a cruise like that, and am I going to be forced to talk to people at dinner all the time?
No.
No?
You know, it's so much fun. It's like being, have you ever been in a situation where everybody has to be where they are and you guys just kind of embrace it and have a good time just regardless? Well, take that situation and now add all the luxuries of a cruise liner, all the people taking care of you, and it's a party, or it's not. You know, the people know when to let you be by yourself, like on the deck chair, and you're sitting there with your sunglasses on, or if you're sitting having a cup of coffee and you're reading a book. But then you can, you know, you can be a part of the crowd, or you can just be on the sidelines of the crowd and just watch the crowd. So it's really a very, very wonderful way to travel. I absolutely loved it. I left Leonardo, we're on the Leonardo da Vinci, and we left Italy.
Oh.
And we went through the, you know, Straits of Gibraltar, and we ended up in a storm, and the anchor came loose, and they had to cut the engines and do some last-minute fixing up to put the anchor in a safe place. I don't know what they did. We didn't care. They just got us to New York City.
Wow, that was one adventure.
Yeah, that was one adventure. Yeah. And there was another one from England, going down, stopping in Bermuda, going to the Bahamas, and through the going through the Panama Canal. That was it. That was interesting, you know, very interesting. And then they said, when we got off the ship, we were in Panama City. We got off the ship, and they said, you're don't go see those, don't go into that dark place, stay to the lights.
stay
with the street lights. No problem, we'll stay with the street lights. It's just all the different stops and the different things that you encounter. You get to get off the ship, get back on, be in your little room, and then it's just fun. You're gonna have a blast.
Well, I mean, they don't fool around, because I know they have hired celebrity chefs like Jacques Pepin and Giada, and so I'm curious about all that, too. It's Oceania, and I'm going to add 2 days in Miami before and after, just to make sure I get my sea legs and get back on dry land at Lowe's Hotel. They have a new one in Coral Gables that I've been dying to see, and Lowe's, of course, Miami Beach Hotel, which is right there on the beach and right where the Lincoln Mall is. So that's always fun, too. So yeah, I get my Miami fix and my Caribbean fix, and I'm going to let you know what I think of it.
I can't wait to hear you calm me down. I just can't wait. Yeah, you know, and all those great ships have these fabulous stabilizers, so you don't need to worry about a thing. You won't even notice that you're on a and the area that you're on the ship in the ocean, it's going to be very calm. You know, you're not even going to know that you're going to sleep like a baby. There's something really
good. Use a little of that.
Just now, is there somebody in this book that I should know about when I get it?
Well, you'll meet Al Pacino, like I did, and Paul Anka, another one of the celebrities you will find, and then some others along the way. You know, the people in these places become celebrities too, because they're so very colorful that they are friends forever. And New Orleans is another spooky kind of place we're going to visit with the voodoo and the intrigue. And
stay to the street lights.
If they're operating.
Michael Patrick Shields hosts Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, travel guru extraordinaire. And now his book, you've got to get it, Travel Tattler, Less Than Torrid Tales. Thank you for being on the show. It's going to be so much fun.
Amazon.com is waiting for you. You can get it at Amazon.com.
Okay.
And they'll deliver it to you, and we'll deliver you the world and hope you'll get out into it.
Fabulous. Thanks, Michael Patrick.
Mahalo and aloha.
Aloha. Coming back with Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award recipient, LPGA Media Excellence Award. You know, the list is long. This man is really quite amazing. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Are you looking for a new camera? Want a quality camera to rent for that weekend getaway? Pro Camera Hawaii is your authorized Canon, Sony, Fujifilm, Nikon, and Ricoh dealer. With in-stock and special orders for your hard-to-find items, from digital cameras, lenses, audio, lighting, video accessories, and gift certificates, Pro Camera Hawaii has it all. Sales and expert service at Pro Camera Hawaii in the Pearl Kai Shopping Center. Capture the memories.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Member of the Western Pennsylvania Golf Association Hall of Fame, author Vision 54 Trilogy with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nilsson, including Play Your Best Golf Now. Great book. Get it. LPGA Media Excellence Award, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award, Golf Channel contributor and award-winning writer, Ron Cyrak, welcome into the clubhouse.
Danielle, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So what a year we've had. I said this once before, the International Crown, the Solheim Cup, the Ryder Cup, all in one year. We're now going into kind of the season finale of the LPGA Tour. With Celine Boutier, now a four-time winner, that playoff victory against Atiya Titikul, a 9-playoff hole. Did you get to see that?
Yeah, I saw some of that. It was remarkable, and what a year she's having. You know, she was trailing Lily Avu in Player of the Year points, and then she wins there, so that gives her 30 points. That moves her in the first place. You know, look, Player of the Year is going to come down to the last tournament at CMA Group Tour Championship. And who would have guessed at the beginning of the year that the top four in Player of the Year points would be Celine Boutier, Lily Avu, Runa Nguyen, and Alison Corpuz.
Yay, you know? Allison! Yay, Allison!
Yep.
Yeah, we're so
and
excited.
At the same time, who would have thought that Jin Young Ko, Lydia Ko, Nelly Korda, Brooke Henderson, Lexi Thompson would not be in the picture?
Exactly.
You know? It's been an incredible year, and I think what it's shown
is just a depth of talent out there, that more and more and more really talented young players just keep emerging, and it's harder to stay on top.
Yeah, it really is. And I was talking with Mark Rolfing earlier, and he said, you know, I really should ask Ron Cyrak this question. We were talking a little bit about the women's game, and Nelly Korda, how is she? Is her body, is she okay?
Yeah, you know, I mean, she's gone through several things. I mean, last year she had the blood clot situation, and that knocked her out for a few months. And then she had some back issues this year. I think more of it is that struggle with dealing with being the best player in the world, or being one of the best players in the world. I mean, and we've seen it so many times when players make the climb, then they get there, and it's hard to stay there. It takes a toll on you. And I think it took a toll on her this year. What will be interesting to see whether she gets it back next year, you know,
yeah.
And bounces back from it. The talent is certainly there, enormously talented player. But, you know, as I said, that a lot of those top players who've been the top players for the last 2, 3, 4 years have found out that you got to work really hard to stay there now, because there's so many other good players coming.
And they're all coming after you. There's
yep.
something.
They're coming after.
Yeah,
yep.
There's something about having a target on your back. You know, when I talked about, author of Vision 54, the trilogy, did Lynn Marriott and Pia Nielsen, did they address that sort of thing? You know, how do you stay, I don't know what the word is, together, you know, without having, I don't know, with all the people who want to take you down. It's not personal.
Yeah, it's learning how to keep your head in the now, in the right now. You know, I remember they had, when Brittany Lincecum won the, the ANA, it's now the Chevron Championship. When
yeah.
she won that, her first major, what they had her doing that whole tournament was because they knew that her mind would wander. That you know, like in our book, Every Shot Must Have a Purpose, we have a chapter on self-talk, that voice in your head that's keep making doom and gloom predictions. And what they had Lincecum do was sing country western songs to herself all the way around. Between shots, she'd be walking down the fairway singing country western songs to herself to keep those negative voices out of her head. And, nobody was better that I've seen than, I mean, look, the three greatest winners I've covered are Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, Annika Sörenstam. And Annika was so, so good at keeping all those distractions out of her mind when she was on the golf course. And that's what, when players like a Nelly Korda or a Jin Young Ko and get to the top of the heap, they got to learn, okay, how do I keep all those distractions out of my head so I can just be focused on playing good golf?
Yeah. And, you know, that you're reading about yourself, hopefully not, because it, all of that attention really can, you start overanalyzing not just what people may be thinking about you, you know. it's weird.
If I was coaching a player right now, the first thing I'd say is delete your social media account. You don't want to read what people are saying about you out there.
Yeah, because there's so many unkind people. They're just trying to tear down anybody. You know, it's just, and you're the latest hot shot, so to speak. And so everybody's, you've got a target on your back.
One of the most overused words and misused words in not just golf, but all of sports, is the word choke, you know. And the people who use that have no idea of the pressure these players are under. You know, you hit a bad shot and you didn't choke, you hit a bad shot, you know. And I think we have to just get greater appreciation for the challenge that they face out there. And where golf is unique in all sports is only you can hit the next shot. You know, they can't bring a substitute in. They can't say, okay, you're not shooting well, just work on your defense, you know. You're the only person who can stand up there and hit that next shot.
That's wonderful. Yes, yeah, no subs. Now, Eastlake, men's and women's collegiate competition. so the men play and the women play. And I was thinking when I was watching this, I thought, gosh, this would be cool if it was like if they had a men, man and woman playing as a team.
Yeah, it's you know, and you know me, I've been banging this drum for a while. I think there needs to be an official event on both the PGA Tour and the LPGA that is a mixed gender event. I mean, look, to me, the most exciting format in golf is best ball, match play. You know, that's why the Ryder Cup and the Solheim Cup are so exciting. We see players out there trying to make birdies, trying to attack every hole because they're playing with a partner and, yeah, and they're playing best ball. And I'd love to see an event like that that's an official event for both the PGA Tour and the LPGA. I think everybody is on board. I know TV would love it, because the fans want it. What they got to work out is the finances of it, because the men are play for so much more money than the women, you know? So how are we going to do that? How are you going to have a purse there that's going to be high enough to attract the men to play in it?
Okay, I got it. That, well, that's why I thought if they started in a collegiate level, you know, it would make it more normal, so to speak. It would bring it into the fold. And then if the players, you know, the men and the women who are playing on a collegiate level, then they'd want to go. They would enjoy it, I'm assuming. I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be great to watch. And the girls can take advantage of the guy's strength. The guy takes advantage of the women's, you know, finesse. I just think it would be really, really, really hot. And I don't know why they're not doing it. It makes no sense to me. But neither does this whole thing with the PGA Tour. You were following this thing with talking with the Saudis and the PGA Tour and, you know, putting a price tag on the various entities within the PGA Tour and selling here and selling. It's like, this is nuts.
Well, and by the way, we don't know anything more about, when did they announce like that they were going to merge PGA Tour and LIV Golf? It was like in May or June, or, you know, they announced they were going to do that. We don't know anything more about that now than we did then.
Mm-hmm.
It looks to me like they've made zero progress. It looks to me like 2024 is going to look exactly the same as 2023. There's going to be a DP World Tour, a PGA Tour, a LIV Golf Tour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just going to... they have made there's to me still a ton of obstacles out there, and it'll just be interesting to see how long the Saudis are going to be willing to lose massive amounts of money on this.
Yeah, and when we talk about money, you know, how can you attract the guys to come and play? That's a problem, that everything's about the money. And then of course the PGA Tour increased their purses because they had to compete against the Saudi deep pockets, and now their own coffers, which were pretty hefty, have been depleted, and they're having problems. I find the money aspect, sure, it's going to be in everything, you know, but it's gotten kind of out of hand in the game of golf.
Well, you know, this is the first year that the LPGA has played for $100 million in prize money. And you know, a decade ago, it was half that. And that's enormous progress. But the truth of the matter is, women's golf lost ground this year because of all that other money that LIV has brought into the men's game. And you talk about the increased purses and the increased bonuses on the PGA Tour. So, you know, women who were playing, coming into the year, playing for about one-fifth the prize money the men are playing for, they're probably playing for about one-tenth the prize money men are playing for now. Even though they made progress this year, in terms of the PGA Tour, the women lost ground.
That's really a shame. It should be. Yeah, it will be one day. And
this is why, too, Danielle, I think these mixed-gender events would be so important. It would help grow the women's game because I've been covering the women's game for 35 years now, and the biggest critics of women's golf, both among fans and media, are people who don't watch it, you know? they don't go to the events, they don't watch the events, and they don't have an appreciation. They just take shots at it, and they have no appreciation for how good these athletes are.
Yeah.
And if they're out there, you know, the fact that we've had women majors at venues where the men have played, you know, we have the Augusta National Women's Amateur, they played Pebble Beach this year, that Baltus Roll they played. The fact that they're playing those kind of courses brings new eyes to the product. There will be men who will turn in to watch the women play. Gee, I wonder how they're going to handle Pebble Beach. And then they're going to find out they play really good golf, and they'll come back. And that's a way to grow the game.
And that is. And that's a really positive way to grow the game. And we're growing the game. The youngsters that are getting into the game, the life lessons they learn, learning the game of golf, and then they enjoy it so much, the camaraderie, the friendships they develop, they go on into higher junior golf organizations like Hawaii State Junior Golf Association.
Yep.
It's a wonderful sport to be in. And the idea that, you know, your child can do something, become an athlete with not necessarily, you know, giving up a neck or an arm or...
Right.
Fracturing a leg. Yes. If I just may backtrack for a second, the company that PGA Tour is negotiating with, actually, or whatever they're doing, is called Endeavor, which I find that's the Saudi. So Endeavor and PGA Tour is not going to be a partnership. That's the way negotiations are going so far. Saudi Arabia is declining the offer, the PGA Tour. And I love, did you read Joe Ogilvie's letter? Everyone should read it.
Yeah.
It's just, if you get a chance to, just get a hold of that letter, because it's such a lesson in economics. He's a money manager, former tour player, really, really smart guy. Okay, so other than, you know, all of the stuff that's going on there, I'd kind of like to focus on the next event on the LPGA Tour.
They go back to Florida after this, and they play the Annika Gamebridge tournament there. And as I said, we've got not only a battle for player of the year that's still up there, we got a really good battle going for the Bear Trophy for lowest scoring averages between Hoojoo Kim and Adi Atitikul. And they are virtually tied going into these last two tournaments. But it's nice that Annika is out and involved as an activist, you know, a sort of a co-sponsor of this event to help draw attention to it.
Yeah, and well, Tiger was over at his tournament, and I thought that was very cool that he was so involved. Annika is, as you mentioned, you know, there's Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and Annika Sorenstam. They are involved people. If they're starting something, they stick with it. So having her name on it, she would want to be there. She would want to be a part of it. The Annika, driven by Gamebridge and Pelican. This is really, really important. So how invested is Annika in the women's game? How does she get involved?
Yeah, I mean, she's involved in every level. She runs junior tournaments. You know, she sponsors the Annika Award, which is with Rolex for the player who performs the best in the major championships during the year. And, you know, one of the amazing things to me, when I first interviewed Annika in 1996, and she was so shy, I had to go to her caddy to get usable quotes because she couldn't put two sentences together. And now she's a businesswoman, and she's a motivational speaker. She does media stuff. I mean, the way that she emerged from being a shy person to being a superstar golfer to being a first-class businesswoman is truly remarkable. And she's inspiring the players, not just as a golfer out there, but she's inspiring to the players as a human being, you know, as somebody who has achieved an enormous amount and had to overcome some real serious personal obstacles about doing that, to feel that it was okay to be a superstar, that it was okay to elbow your way into the boardroom and to mix it up with the men on the corporate level.
So Nelly Korda is going to be in this tournament that's coming up, the Annika. Also, we're going to see Celine Boutier, of course, will be in it. Jin Young Ko, Minji Lee, Lilia Vu, Alison Corpuz. They're all committed. Brooke Henderson, Leona McGuire. This will be the precursor to the final, the CME group, right? Then we'll be in the final event?
Yeah, 60 players get into the final event, and it's the top 60 on the points, which is essentially the money list. And those get in, and then whoever wins that tournament takes home a really big check for that.
Go ahead. Really big check.
It's set up. I mean, they couldn't have it that better. I mean, you know, the dream situation that you have is that you come down to this big money tour championship, season-ending limited field event, and player of the year is still up for grabs. And that's almost certainly going to be the case, unless, I guess, if Boutier won the Gainbridge, that she wouldn't have wrapped up player of the year by then. But if she doesn't win it, there's three players who have a shot at it.
Yeah. And, well, I'm looking at all the players who are in it, and I'm thrilled to see Lexi Thompson is playing, and Stacey Lewis is entered as well. Hinako Shibuno, so many people who have come before this new crop of contenders that really worked hard to keep the game strong. And I'm thinking of Lexi and seeing her come back in a stronger position. She just seems to be in a better space with the game, too. Do you get that sense?
Yeah, you know, I get that sense, but I've also had that sense a couple of times before with her, you know, where I felt like she was getting the mental side of the game together, you know. But it's now been 4.5 years since she won on the LPGA Tour, you know, I think it's funny. I threw out, during Ryder Cup, in making a point about how much Victor Hovland had improved his short game. He used to be chipping and putting. He was terrible at it.
Yes.
And now he's terrific. And I sort of said, hey, I hope Lexi Thompson's paying attention. It can be done, because that's the weak part of her game, chipping and putting. And a lot of people, like, of course, social media being social media, thought I was taking a shot at Lexi and started attacking me. And I wasn't taking a shot. I was just saying, it can be done. You're only 28 years old. Just look at what Victor Hovland did and how much he... Dustin Johnson did the same thing with his short game. He had a six-month hiatus in the tour, and he worked on his game from 100 yards in. You can get better on that. I feel that Lexi, in terms of her personal life, is in a very, very good place right now. And we'll just see if that the peace that she's finding in her personal life carries over to her professional performance.
That would be so cool. I would like to see her victorious, you know, after she's been playing the game since she was like three.
You know, when she shot 42 on the back nine at the Olympic Club and lost. Missed the U.S. playoff in the U.S. Open, Women's Open, by one stroke. And I wrote a piece saying, hey, you know, the Olympic Club's been hard on a lot of great players. Ben Hogan, Arnold Palmer, Tom Watson all got there, and it took down another big name in Lexi Thompson. She sent me a message saying, thanking me for my column.
Right
and
on.
Thanking me, essentially, for not bashing her.
Right
but
on.
That's the kind of person she is. She's just a good, good woman that way.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with me. Always a pleasure talking with you. I'm going to thank the people who make this show possible. Aloha, Ron. And I want to thank the Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. Yes, the gift that lasts forever. Claude Brousseau, Master Teaching Professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. Get your game on with Claude. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks, shopping centers, businesses, hotels since 1939. Brand yours. Aloha Power Equipment. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power at your fingertips. And Pro Camera Hawaii, now in the Pearl Kai Shopping Center. Capture your memories with the best photo equipment possible. All right, I just wanted to say this one more time. The Honolulu Sign Company, those are the people who do the branding. So get in touch with them. Get yourself branded. It's so important in this world of business. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide.
Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2023.